I am more sure than ever of what is going to happen and what has to happen, not only in this country but in the world, with Christians everywhere. God has been impressing upon me for the last month how urgent it is that Christians begin to see that sin and righteousness as natures instead of just acts. Because when they see them only as acts, they think of it as something that they can change, because anybody can change their actions. But if they see it as a nature, everyone understands you can't change your nature. Everybody understands you cannot change a dolphin into a shark or a shark into a dolphin. Everybody knows this. You may be able to train a dolphin to act like a shark, right? But you'll never change his nature into a shark. And if, you know, as long as Christianity is focused on actions, even the act of what we call being born again, as long as we focus people on actions, they're not going to see their need of nature. You know, the actions were used in the law to show you your nature. Right? Just like apples are meant to show you what an apple tree is. But they focused upon the acts for so long, they don't understand that they proceed from a nature. Isn't there a lot of Christians who've decided if I just change my acts to look righteous, then I'm righteous? Well, I received Jesus as my Lord Savior, I'm saved, so now I got to just start living right. That's the way they look at it, and that's wrong. I said the pretty words, now I've got to live up to them. And if I can't live up to them, I've got to disguise my actions and hide what's in my heart so nobody else will see. I've got to make it look like it's Christian. Doesn't matter if it really is. Doesn't matter if there's really anything in my heart that says I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter if my heart condemns me. I've got to give the rhetoric and the suit and everything else to look like a Christian. I've got to look righteous. But God sees. Amen. God sees. And this really drives home the point that this nation, this world, this church needs a revelation of sin as a nature and righteousness as a nature, don't they? They need that revelation. They need the truth. See, Jesus came to bring us the revelation of the Spirit. A chameleon is not a new creation. It is the same creation blending into a new environment. Yep, that's the truth. And that's the way a lot of Christians see themselves, huh, as those chameleons. Well, now that I'm a Christian, I have to start to act and look like one. Right? Never mind about the true nature of the thing. Yeah, but it's on Sunday. Well, let's listen to this. You know, I want to read the last part of Romans 7 as we go into chapter 8. So I find this law at work, and this is talking to someone who is a sinner apart from Christ. So I find this law at work, verse 21, chapter 7 of Romans. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Now this is simply telling you that the Spirit inside your body, even though your body is a slave to sin through its desires, and therefore your spirit has to go along because it's a slave to those desires, even though your spirit agrees that those things are wrong through what the law told you, right? The law said don't covet, you tried not to covet. You wanted to please God. But even though you want to please God, you find that you can't. See, when the Spirit is not the master but the slave, then he has no control. He sees that he's caught in a nature of sin in the Spirit, doesn't he? The Spirit understands that. I'm caught. I want to please God, but I'm forced to do things I don't want to do. Now, you've got to really see this because it shows you that sin is a nature that you are powerless to change. That before sin is exercised in your body, you are dealing with it between your spirit and your mind, and that carnal mind of the sin nature always wins. You know why? Because you can't fight against your own desires. See, the desires are closely associated with the nature of the thing, aren't they? And when you find that you can't win against your own desires, you are a house divided against itself, and it can't stand. And you can't make it better. You cannot. You know what we were talking about? We were talking about the carnal mind is very much that sin nature, a picture of Antichrist. How many of you remember us talking about that? It very much pictures Antichrist. Or Antichrist, rather, is a picture of the carnal mind. Remember where it says concerning the Antichrist, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? Can you make war against your own mind and your own desires? That beast who lives according to his own desires? Because that's what beasts do. They're like brute beasts meant to be caught and destroyed. Get it? That's why it's called the beast. Can you make war against the beast of your carnal nature who wants to fulfill his own desires? Can you win? Isn't that what the members of your body and your life say? Who is like the beast? Who can make war with him? Who can overcome the sinful nature? You can't, can you? But thanks be to God. Now, this is exactly what Paul says. You can't. Who is like the beast? Who can make war with him? But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Isn't that what it's saying? Who can make war with the beast? They marvel. Who can make war with the beast? What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Same question, isn't it? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In both cases, that's true. In the sin nature and the Antichrist, it is Jesus who overcomes. Right? So it must be Christ in you who overcomes. And that's the nature you walk by. That nature of the Holy Ghost that was implanted in you when you believed. Right? That's the nature you overcome with. That means you submit everything to that nature so he can overcome. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. This is the position we find ourselves. We agree with the good, but we are powerless to do it. And this shows us that we need our nature changed. If we cannot change or stop these actions of sin, and we cannot stop this seeking after the desires of the flesh in our hearts, then we show that our nature, it needs a change, and we can't change it. All right. Therefore, this is where we want to get to, right here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, why does it tell you that there's no condemnation? Why doesn't it say something else? If it wants to just talk to you about, oh, now you're saved, oh, now that you've got Jesus, things are going to get better, why does it use these words? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even though you are still counted as a sinner, you have been given grace through Jesus Christ, haven't you? You're counted in Christ through your faith in his sacrifice, right? Because you're not depending upon your own merits to overcome condemnation of the law and the condemnation of sin and the corruption of sin. You're counting on a sacrifice that God has provided to relieve you of that, aren't you? So your faith is in his righteousness, not your own. Now, see, this is another thing Christians need a great revelation of. The righteousness of Christ. They need to believe that he is powerful, that he was righteous, that he is accepted by God. They need a revelation of this. That it's only because he is accepted by God that you can be accepted by God, because you cannot stand on your own merits. There is no condemnation in Christ, not of yourself, in Christ. There is there now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Ghost in you, that divine nature, has set me free from the law of sin and death. See, that's where the nature change comes. You have made partakers of a nature that can overcome, haven't you? And how does that nature dwell in you? It dwells in you through faith, doesn't it? That deposit of God's Spirit dwells in your heart through faith. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. See, remember where it tells us that if there's ever given a law that could save us, it would have been this law. Because this law is holy and righteous and good. This law did not become sin. But the law was powerless to save you from its judgments. Right? But what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by your sinful nature, right? God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And here's what He means by that. How did God do it? He sent His nature in the form of a man. He united His nature to a man. He united His nature, that divine nature, to flesh. He put His divine nature in a man of flesh. You see that? So what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. You see that? God sent His nature here. Jesus is the revelation of God's nature, which is Spirit, which is righteousness. And so He condemns sin in sinful man. This is the point. It caused a separation in you, didn't it? He condemns sin in sinful man. By Him releasing your spirit, by coming into you and joining your spirit to His, that's the reconciliation, right? Your spirit joined to God's spirit? That's reconciliation. And by reconciling your spirit, right, He is trumped over that man of sin and cast him down underneath. And it's all about this order. The order, the way you were under the law and what you found out by the law, is that corrupt union of body and spirit together is a soul of dishonor. It is a soul of corruption. And that soul is a nature, isn't it? That's corrupt. It is a corrupt nature that ruled over body and spirit. Right? It changed the order of body and spirit to where the spirit served the body's desires instead of the body being in submission to the spirit. So we had soul working through body to get to spirit instead of God working through spirit to get to body. Let me say that again. The corrupt nature is soul working through body to get to spirit instead of God working through spirit to get to body. Can you see that? But by Jesus coming into you, He has cast that sinful nature down to the body, to where all it has control over. All it has is the body. He has released your spirit. Now with Him, your spirit and Him can take control over your body, and that sinful man is condemned in that body. What are you doing with that body? Somebody tell me. What are you and Jesus doing with that body? Besides submitting, you know, when obviously you're submitting its members to God's will. But what are you submitting it to in submitting it to God's will? You're submitting it to death. Right? And by submitting the body to death, who else do you commit to death? The one flesh, huh? The sin nature. By you and Jesus taking control over the body, you've committed the body and the sinful nature to death. By committing the body to death, laying it down, laying down your life, taking up your cross, so to speak, dying with Christ, What have you done? You've submitted your body unto death, haven't you? Isn't that true? Isn't it true that every one of us in here know that for our salvation to become the reality beyond our faith, this body must die for our spirit to be truly free to go be with Jesus in the heavenlies? Right? Right now we are positionally there. Right now we are there through faith. Right there we were there because we believe God's promises. But for our spirits to actually be free from this body has to die. Because they're connected, aren't they? So that's what it means in Romans 8:10. We're going to read it here in a minute. If the Spirit of Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Because why? That's what you and Jesus are doing, submitting it to death. And the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Why? Your spirit is submitted to Christ. Now there's a clarity here, isn't there? Of what's going on in you. You've got to understand, you are not just submitting the members of your body to please God. You are submitting them to death to fulfill the requirements of the law. Because in order for you to be free from under the law and its judgments, your body must die. And by committing your body there and the sin nature being stuck in that body, the sinful nature has to go where the body goes, doesn't it? Can you see that? How many of you see that? So, what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. How are the righteous requirements of the law fully met in you? You die. Right now you're dead by faith. But your body must eventually die, right? For the righteous requirements of the law to be fully met in you. Isn't this true? The only way you can be free from the law is to be dead with Christ. And that has to actually happen, not just by faith. Faith must have its end. Boom. The body goes into the grave. So that's the main point. You're not just submitting the members of your body to please God. You're submitting them to death to satisfy the judgment of God. On all flesh. Because all flesh is under judgment, isn't it? You see that? Here's the point. So He condemns sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds on what that nature desires. Now here's the point. See, it doesn't matter just what you're doing. And this is what Christians need a revelation of. It doesn't matter whether or not you yield, as Jesus said, whether you actually yield the members of your body to adultery. If you've looked upon a woman with lust, you've already laid with her in your heart, didn't you? Didn't you? See, where did that sin start? That sin didn't start in your action. It started in your nature. And those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Now, so what is your test to find out whether or not you're walking according to the Spirit? What are you thinking? There's your test right there. What are you thinking? What is it you're craving? Do you crave after money? Do you crave after sex? Do you crave after drugs? Do you crave after food? Do you crave after power? Do you crave after attention and adulation? What is it you crave? What is your mind focused on? What is it you get up and look for every day? Let me tell you, an animal has no choice but to get up and look for food every day, right? And that's what his mind is on. His mind is on not whether or not he's going to please God. His mind is not whether or not he's going to please anybody else. His mind is on where can I get food, right? Now, I want you to compare this. Remember where Jesus told his disciples? Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. What you eat, drink, and wear. God knows you need them. But it's the Gentiles who seek the things. You understand? It's the Gentiles who seek those things. Right? You have a test here to know whether or not you're walking according to the nature of Christ or the nature of Adam. You have a test here you can acknowledge every moment of your life. What is it that you're thinking about? Let me see it. Read it again. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Are you thinking, remember what Jesus said now, Matthew 6. What you eat, drink, and wear will be given to you if you seek first the kingdom of God. It's the Gentiles who seek after these things. And God knows you need them. But if you'll seek first His kingdom, these things will be added to you. So what do you seek first? If you're truly walking through faith by the Spirit, what do you seek first? You seek God's will. And He makes sure you get what you need. But if your mind is on the things you need first, then what nature are you walking by? Remember, sin doesn't start in what you do. Sin doesn't start in you taking those things. Think of all of that sin. All of that, whether it be adultery or theft, it's about you taking what you wanted. Whether it be adultery, theft, murder, greed, it's all about you taking what you wanted. You walking by your desires. And if you're walking by those desires, then you are walking by the sinful nature. And it didn't start in you taking it. It started in your desire. It started in your mind. Here's the test then, huh? Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Let me show you another way in this works. If you are going to answer somebody's Bible question as a Christian, and you're going to answer it from what you learned in reading a book, or what you learned, what your knowledge on the subject may be, or you're going to answer it according to what you learned in Bible school or seminary, or what the popular theology is, if you're not answering by the revelation of Christ, then what nature are you answering by? If you're answering out of your intellect on what you know instead of who you know, how are you answering their question? Those who live according to sinful nature have their minds on what that nature desires. You see the operation here? If you're trying to answer people's questions about the truth of God and you weren't sent, then you're trying to answer out of your intellect. How many of you see that? That's the nature that needs to be put to death, not sowed to. So if you're searching your intellect to answer people about God instead of searching the Spirit, what nature are you sowing to? If you're depending on that nature for answers, what nature are you... If you were just trying to figure out your life by your carnal mind, then what nature are you depending on? Your flesh nature, your sin nature, the nature of Adam. But if you're laying down on your face before God and waiting for His answer, what spirit are you sowing to then? You see the difference? You're either like a man going round and round in his head looking for a device he can use, or you're laid on your face and waiting in patience upon the Lord. Because you acknowledge then that the answers come from Him and not from yourself. That the answer isn't in you and of you. It's from God. See, all of these are indications and should be to all of us by what nature, about what nature we're walking by at any given moment. At any given moment. Is this true or not true? Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You will never please God. You will never answer the questions about God into yourself or anyone else. You will never be able to figure it out. As long as you're walking by that nature,
That the answer isn't in that nature. It's corrupt. The answer is from God. That nature. You see a point here. You have a test to see what nature you're walking by. And this should show you something that's very bottom line as Christians. That sin is first a nature before it's an act. Long before it ever becomes an act, it's a nature. And you have no control. Nobody can act against their own nature. Nobody can win against their own desires. A house divided against itself cannot fall. You cannot overthrow Satan with Satan. You cannot overthrow flesh with flesh. You cannot overcontrol your own desires, because you're going to do what you want to do. But if you yield what you want to what God wants, then His nature can control you. And this is every day. This is how you overcome sin and live as righteous people through faith. Do you understand? That's the way righteousness comes, and it's very clear here, isn't it? The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So why do people keep trying to serve God out of a carnal mind? Because you can't. You'll never please God. You, however, and here's where the hope of faith comes in. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now that's what it comes down to, isn't it? You are going to have to get on your knees and pray and find out whether or not that Spirit's even there. Aren't you? Because a good indication that it's not is if you're walking by your own intellect and going round and round in your head looking for answers you're never going to get. You understand? Seeking your own way and trying to figure out your own problems. You need to hear from God. You need the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, remember, He's offered to all men freely. Maybe it's time for us to humble ourselves to find out whether or not we do have the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's possible a lot of us have the Holy Spirit and we just ain't been listening. But it's time now, isn't it? See, that's what's going to make us one, is that nature. That nature that dwells in us through faith. And that's why we must humble ourselves to that nature. That's why we must yield to that nature. That must be the default nature of us.
Praise God. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. And believe me, we have a lot of people who call themselves Christians that do not belong to Christ. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They never did. And they need to. They need to humble themselves, truly. But if Christ is in you, here it is, what we were saying. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. But your spirit is alive because of righteousness. All right? Your body is dead because of whose sin? Your body is dead because of whose sin? I want to show you something. Adam's. Very good. And Adam's sin becomes your sin, doesn't it? Because you're of Adam. Right? Adam's sin becomes your sin. Now I want you to see something that happens with Christ. If you are walking by the Spirit, whose righteousness are you walking by? Jesus' righteousness. Amen. You notice how Jesus' righteousness must become your righteousness in the same way Adam's sin became your sin?
Can you see that? Just as Adam's nature became your nature, now Jesus' nature must become your nature. And Jesus' nature is righteousness. That must become your nature. So that must be the nature you sow to. And you ain't going to find it in Adam. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, the Holy Spirit, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. He'll raise it through His Spirit who lives in you. See, the hope of your resurrection, it tells you plainly, is in that Holy Spirit right there in you. That is the source of all your information. That is the source of the very nature you're called to walk in. That is the source of God in you. And that's what God sent to the earth in the body of a man, Jesus. God sent that nature to the earth for you. And in the shedding of His blood, that Spirit has been shed abroad and offered to all men. Do you see that? Do you see that? That's what we mean by the righteousness is in the blood. Because that blood pictures the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. You must eat of the Word and drink of that Spirit. So your dependence, by saying your dependence is upon that Spirit, we're saying that your dependence is upon the righteousness of Christ and not your own. And you cannot produce it, no matter how you act. Only God can change your nature. And this is the central point of what Christians have to come back to. A dependency upon a living, holy, righteous God who saw fit to share His nature with us through His Son Jesus. What He will make happen and what you could never do. You need a Savior. And as long as you're in this flesh, you'll continue to need Him. It doesn't stop. Amen? This teaching right here needs to become a clarity in all of our lives as disciples so that this light of clarity can shine onto others. That sin and righteousness are natures. And you must choose which nature you will partake of. And you know what? They're both offered equally. That's your choice. Praise God.